Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How is the Iowa legislative session going? Let's go in-depth with Governor Kim Reynolds. Governor, how's the legislative session going?
Well, we just wrapped up final week, and so, you know, I'm encouraged by what I have seen take place. And again, I think Iowa is a shining star because we have continued to find a way to work together to put Iowans first and to move the ball forward. So Future Ready Iowa, felon voting rights, the children's mental health bill, contraceptives, funding for education, Empower Rural Iowa. We were able to, Representative Carlson is moving that and move that in the House. And so, and it actually would have been funnel proof because there's an appropriation in it. But I love the fact that we're moving these forward. And these are all areas where, again, we've seen a lot of bipartisan support to really help move Iowa forward.
And which ones of those were bipartisan? I know criminal justice reform.
Criminal justice reform definitely was. Felon voting rights passed unanimously out of committee. Children's mental health care, I think that one, the children's mental health bill that I'm sponsoring, I believe that one passed unanimously. The Future Ready Iowa funding is funnel proof, again, because it's an appropriation, but we have bipartisan support on that. Education, I think we actually, in the Senate especially, they had some bipartisan support on the funding, and I think really bipartisan support when it came to the per pupil equity and when it came to the transportation funding. So maybe the state supplemental aid, not as much, but in the Senate, I think there was some, you know, if you get one, it's considered bipartisan support, so the both sides do that. Okay. It just takes one vote.
All right. Okay, and so anything that didn't make it through the funnel that you wished had?
Not on my initiatives that I'm following and really working on. This is the legislative process, and that's what I love about it. You know, people often ask me where I stand on bills, and I really don't weigh in because this is an opportunity for Iowans to weigh in, for different groups that are supporting different initiatives, to talk about why it's important and to give the opposition the opportunity to come in and say, no, this is what we believe it's going to do to something they're working on. So, you know, it's a healthy process, and it gives both sides an opportunity to weigh in, and then legislators have to decide, you know, what their constituents want, and they get to decide what moves forward.
But you have your own initiatives. You say,
yeah,
hey, I want this to happen.
Yes. So like children's mental health, we've been, working to get that through, making sure that we're answering all the questions that people may have, and just to remind people that there isn't a system at all. We've been talking about it for 20 years, but we have to start somewhere. And so this is it's the structure and the governance of the children's mental health system and how we move forward. So funding for Future Ready Iowa, you know, we passed unanimously last year the bill. It's about workforce. I was one of two governors that got selected to serve on the President's America's Workforce Advisory Board. There's 25 individuals that are sitting around the table, a lot of CEOs, educators, not-for-profits. We had our first meeting Wednesday in Washington, D.C., and it was such a great testament to Iowa and to the things. We got selected because we're way ahead of the game on where other states are at with our apprenticeship programs, with STEM, with work-based learning, with Future Ready Iowa. I listed all of the things that we're working on because, like with the welding, a registered apprenticeship program that we have at the Pella Career Academy. That's what I highlighted, and the opportunities that this provides to help young people know that there are multiple paths to great careers in Iowa, and they are, well, nationally, but they exist within our communities. So I had CEO of Lockheed Martin, of IBM, and of Siemens come up to me afterwards and just say, it is incredible what you are doing in Iowa. We want to come and see and check it out, and just was really impressed with what we're doing here.
When you were one of only two governors selected, right?
Yep. The other governor was Governor Eric Holcomb from Indiana, so I also love the fact that it's two Midwest, heartland, you know, states that were selected that are really leading the country in helping address the workforce issue. And really, you know, we're going to have to do this if we're going to sustain the economic growth that we're seeing in Iowa and across this country. And what an opportunity for Iowans to work with them and to be able to provide some resources and a support system to get them the skills. I talked about the layering that we're doing with our apprenticeship programs, both in high school, adults with retraining, and in our prisons. In every one of our institutions, we have apprenticeship programs that are helping inmates get the skills so that we can set them up to be successful when they move back into society.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds. Okay, so you went and told them about our successful programs. What did Iowa get out of that? What did you learn? Can you bring
up? I have a lot of big CEOs that are looking at Iowa. It's a way for us to highlight, hey, this is a great place. The first state that gets this figured out, because every state is experiencing the same thing. We have jobs looking for people. And the first state to get this figured out, what a tremendous tool that we have in the toolbox to say that we have a workforce-ready pipeline to not only meet your existing needs, but to continue to expand and grow in Iowa. So it's an opportunity for us to, highlight that's where we're at here in Iowa, and to encourage more people to expand and invest in this great state, which provides more opportunities for Iowans, and hopefully maybe even to have some Iowans that have left or people that weren't familiar with Iowa think about, hey, that might be a place to move to. They've got, it sounds like, great jobs, great quality of life, low cost of living. We want to have one of the lowest cost of housing. We have the lowest cost of housing in the state or in the country, and so we've got a lot of advantages that we can offer.
And I read an editorial the other day by Mary Andrica with Vermeer, mm-hmm. and part of this, and it was a group of I think 23 different business leaders saying that one of our big challenges is labor force, and one of the things they were pushing for was comprehensive immigration reform. Mm-hmm. And so can anything be done about that at the state level?
Not at the state level, but we talked about that at this meeting. It has to be done. We have to streamline the process. We need to look at worker visas. We need to, streamline that process. It takes too long. It's incredibly expensive. We need to tie it to high-demand jobs and where the need is at. And so that also, hopefully, will be one of the recommendations that comes out of this advisory workforce board. So really what we're trying to do, the key is public-private partnerships. It takes government, it takes business, and it takes educators working together. And really, we don't want to make it too difficult. It's about finding programs that work and looking for opportunity to scale that we can turn this over relatively quickly. And I think then looking at all opportunities. I also highlighted that in Iowa, part of what we're doing is we had comprehensive mental health care reform. I'm working on a children's mental health bill to put in place a system, because if Iowans aren't healthy, they can't learn, they can't earn, and they can't have the quality of life that we'd like to make, to be successful. And so we want to help. That's a piece of what we're doing as well.
It's such a remarkable challenge in the sense I was reading that half of our prison population has mental health issues. Yeah. How do you even begin to approach that?
Well, that's what governors are doing across this country. It is about criminal justice reform. It is about providing them the services while they're in these institutions. It is about making sure that we get them healthy, and then we help them get a skill. So that, and we're doing things like job fairs in the prisons. We're doing things like trying to figure out how we can get them their driver's license before they leave, how we get them on a payment plan if they have debt that they need to pay back to their victims, So all of those things help them be more successful when they get out. It reduces the amount of recidivism. The numbers are there, and it helps our employers. And here's the thing. Employers need workers so bad that they're willing to really take a look at giving people a second chance. And I don't know if that was always the case, but they really are a part of this equation right now, and they're a willing partner in looking for opportunities to work with them.
Okay, so I'm pretty naive about this and don't understand quite how it happens. So a big corporation might say, okay, I might look at some inmate labor. I might look at some people coming out.
Yep.
And then they vet these people.
Well, I'm working on legislation. Another piece of legislation that we filed is an employer liability shield. You know, I highlighted two individuals in my condition of the state who took advantage of the apprenticeship programs while they were in prison, and they're employed, and they bought a home, and they are, you know, excited about the opportunity that they have right now. And we're having them go back into the prisons and talk about how you can turn your life around. There are opportunities for a second chance. So, you know, we just, we've got like 34 different apprenticeship programs. It's in every institution. We have a business actually that's located in Clarinda, within the prison, and they are employing individuals. Some of them are moving into management, and so it's really setting them up to be successful when they leave. Another piece of that, so when I say job fairs, I come in, we bring businesses in and have them, you know, have the inmates talk about what they've been doing while they're in there, how they're working hard to get a skill so that they can turn their life around. Just to start to break down some of those barriers, kind of the unknowns.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Governor Kim Reynolds. Now, all of the budget projections and everything that I've seen look pretty rosy. But I'm always thinking 30% of our economy is tied to agriculture, and the agricultural economy is struggling. What's the disconnect? What am I not seeing?
Yeah, so last year we continue to have a great yields, and so that's been a lifesaver for us over the last 3 years. In addition to that, especially with soy, the mitigation payments that the federal government provided, and farmers don't want that. They want access to markets. They don't want a handout, but because of the lost capacity, especially with China, I appreciate the administration recognizing the fact that our farmers shouldn't pay the price for the trade disruptions that are taking place. So I was just out in Washington, D.C., also for the National Governors Association, where I had the opportunity to not only speak to Ambassador Lighthizer, Secretary Perdue, we had Administrator Wheeler, so it looks like E15, we're on course. We might be behind a week or two, but we should be very close to meeting the June 1st deadline, which will be incredibly important for our corn producers. And then the president and the vice president both spoke, and you know, and I talked to Ambassador Branstad as well. So just about anybody I could get in front of. Secretary Pompeo also very positive with the progress that has been made with the last round of negotiations with China when they were in the United States. They actually ended up staying a couple extra days because they were going so well. So right now, everybody seems pretty bullish on. It's moving in the right direction. Agriculture will fare very well in that. I heard that from Sonny as well as Lighthizer and Mnuchin, I said, and as well. So I think, you know, they're talking possibly the President Xi and President Trump getting together end of March, first of April. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about that. We'll continue to watch it. In the meantime, we need to get USMCA. That needs to be ratified by the Congress. So I also met with our congressional delegation and just really encouraged them to get this done as soon as possible so that we can put some predictability and certainty into the market with that. And they're also trading. I mean, they're in talks with Japan, too, which is incredibly important for our agriculture commodity groups as well.
Seems like they're dragging their feet on the USMCA, are they?
I hope not. I hope it doesn't turn political because that's our number one and two trading partner as well as most of the majority of the states in this country. Canada needs it. Mexico needs it. We just need to get it done. So, you know, I'm not sure the president has started the timeline yet. They have to file it and then there's a process. But they need to get it done. We've got an election happening in Canada. That could be a part of it. You know, we got a lot of balls in the air. And so, but he needs it as much as they need it as much as we do. So they just need to get it done.
Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, it's just, I'm optimistic. Again, it was an honor to be able to highlight the great things that are happening in Iowa. I said, we've got an economy that's growing. We have the lowest unemployment rate in the country. We've seen four straight quarters of wages going up in this state, but there's still a lot of opportunities out there as we continue to grow this economy. So we're working every day to empower Iowans, empower employers, and empower rural Iowa. So we're going to be working every day on that.
Thanks to Governor Kim Reynolds for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.